Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We are located in Grove City, Ohio. I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Friday to you, and I hope you're having a great day today. I don't mean good Friday the way most people feel like it's good Friday. It's just a good day for us. I believe in good Wednesday. As you heard on Wednesday's broadcast, I believe Christ died on Wednesday. When he said 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, you're not going to get 3 days and three nights when he dies on Friday. There's no way to do it. I'm not sure why the tradition has it. They're not rightly dividing the word of truth and not understanding the scripture. But our final authority is not tradition. Our final authority is not the church. Our final authority is not we think. Our final authority is the word of God. What does the Bible say? And along that line, I want to talk to you a little bit today about why did Christ die? Why did he die? The answer just might surprise you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And beginning to read in verse number 14, where Paul writes, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Christ became flesh, born to the Virgin Mary, grew and matured until around 30 years of age. And then he began his public ministry. And for roughly 3 years, he taught, won souls, worked miracles, called disciples, and trained followers, all the while without ever committing a single sin. Oh, he was falsely accused, brought to trial, convicted, and sentenced to death on a cross. There on a hillside outside Jerusalem, on a hill called Mount Calvary, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, suffered and bled and died. Why? Why? Well, first of all, the Bible says he died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8 says, "God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And that is correct. It was partly correct, I guess maybe I should say. Notice in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He didn't die for angels. They can't be redeemed. He didn't die for the righteous, because there is none righteous, no, not one. He died for sinners of every type and size. Remember Jesus said, "They that are whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Paul would say, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." 1 Corinthians 5, 7, "Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." 2 Corinthians 5, 21 that we just read, Galatians 1, 4, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world." So he died for us. Why else did Jesus die? Well, he died to pay the debt for all men. I be lifted up from the earth, Jesus said, I'll draw all men unto me. We have a whosoever will gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever will. That's an unlimited atonement, my friend. And that's one of the words that our Calvinist friends don't like. Several other words like all and every and whosoever and world. But God loved the world, and Jesus died for everyone. He is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. So he gave himself, 1 Timothy 2:6, a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He paid the debt for every single sinner. And so, whosoever heareth Shout, shout the sound, spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Christ died that we might live. He took our sins and he paid the price for that sin when he died on the cross. And if we'll receive him and trust him as our Savior, his righteousness and perfectness is placed on our account. We receive the gift of eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. Heaven is now our home, and we'll never, ever go to hell. But I want you to understand something. Christ did not primarily die to keep us out of hell. He died for us, and he died to pay the sin debt of all people. But here you go, listen carefully. First and foremost, Christ died for God. First and foremost, Christ died for God. Long before the creation of the world, God had fellowship with his Son. At creation, God created Adam in his image and his likeness. He walked with Adam and fellowshiped with Adam. And then sin came, and that fellowship was gone. And God desires that fellowship be restored. He longs for that fellowship once again. But his righteousness says sin must be paid for. Mercy cries out, take him back, take man back. You see, we were created for fellowship with God. We're the objects of his amazing love. He desires fellowship with us. The plan is made to bring men back to God. Christ will lay aside the glory of heaven and come take on flesh. God will break fellowship with his only Son. He will see the sins of mankind laid on his only Son, and his Son will suffer and bleed and die for the sins of mankind. Justice and righteousness are satisfied, but love is shown as God lays down his life for us. All the beating, the scourging, the whip on his back, the bearing of the cross, the nails in his hands, the nails in his feet, the spear in his side, the agony and torment was because God wanted you and me to be able to fellowship with him again. 2 Corinthians 5:15, who hath reconciled. That's a word that means called back into union. He's reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He didn't just die for you and me. He didn't just die for us to miss hell. He died for that you and I might know him. He died that you and I might fellowship with him. He died that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. He died that we might live to the praise of his glory. He died that we might henceforth not live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for us and rose again. Well, you know, you Baptists, you just think you accept Jesus, live any way you want. No, no, no. I live for the glory of God. I do not live as I want, but as he wants. One time at the city temple in London, there was in the congregation a restaurateur named Emil Mettler, who was a close friend of Albert Schweitzer and was kind of an agent for Schweitzer in Britain. Mettler would never allow a Christian worker to pay for a meal in his restaurant. But once he did happen to open his cash register in the presence of the secretary of the London Missionary Society. The secretary was astonished to see among the bills and coins a 6-inch nail. What is that doing there? Well, Mettler explained, I keep this nail with my money to remind me of the price that Jesus Christ paid for my salvation and what I owe him in return. It was Jonathan Edwards that said, resolved that all men should live for the glory of God. Resolved, secondly, that whether others do or not, I will. See, when you say you've accepted Christ and your sins are forgiven and you've received the gift of eternal life and you're on your way to heaven one day, hallelujah, but that's only half right. Now you can walk with God. Now you can fellowship with God. Now you can live for his glory and not your own. Oh, my friend, we're in such bad shape today. There's virtually no difference between the average church member and the person who's not a Christian. God meant for Christians to be different, to live a different kind of life, to be on a different level morally than those who are not Christians. And yet, often there's practically no difference in lifestyle. A Christian father one day was trying to explain to his little boy what it means to be a Christian. And when he finished, the little boy asked, Dad, have I ever seen a Christian? If God gave his Son to live a sinless life on earth, to be misunderstood and mocked and beaten and spit upon and cursed and hung on a cross, to bleed and to die just to bring me to himself, he must love me an awful lot.
And I'm not going to let that love go unreturned. If he did that for me, then I want to walk with him. If he did that for me, then I'll separate from the world. If he did that for me, I'll be at church when the doors are open. If he did that for me, I'm going to tell others about him. If he did that for me, I'm going to read and study and memorize and meditate in the Word of God. I'm going to love him back. There's an old legend of a swan and a crane. A beautiful swan alighted on the banks of the water in which a crane was wading about seeking snails. For a few moments, the crane viewed the swan in stupid wonder and then inquired, "Where'd you come from?" "I came from heaven," said the swan. "And where is heaven?" asked the crane. "Heaven," said the swan. "Heaven! Have you never heard of heaven?" All the beautiful bird went on to describe the grandeur of the eternal city. She told of streets of gold and gates and walls made of precious stones, of the river of life, pure as crystal, upon whose banks is the tree whose leaves shall be for the healing of the nations. In eloquent terms, the swan sought to describe the host who live in the other world, but without arousing the slightest interest on the part of the crane. Finally, the crane asked, "Are there any snails there?" "Snails?" said the swan. "No, of course there are not." Then said the crane, as it continues its search along the slimy banks of the pool, "You can have your heaven. I want snails." Well, that little story has a deep truth underlying it. How many people to whom God has granted the privileges of a Christian home have turned their back upon it and searched for snails? How many a man will sacrifice his wife, his family, his all for the snails of sin? How many a girl is deliberately turned from the love of her parents and the love of her home to learn too late that heaven has been forfeited for snails? The greatest waste in the world is the difference between what we are and what we could become if we'd practice the faith we profess. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a ceremony. Christianity is a life that's vitally connected with Jesus Christ. It's not just going to church on Sunday. It's living 24 hours of every day with Jesus Christ. Christ primarily died for God, so his creation could once again be in close fellowship with their Creator. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:15, "He hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, that henceforth we should not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Why did Christ die? For God. So we could be reconciled to him. Well, I hope you'll draw nigh to him today, will you? Hey, he's alive. He's risen. And we'll celebrate and commemorate that this Sunday, 9:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning for our morning services. And then Sunday night at 5:30, he is alive again. Our choir will present some special numbers and scripture readings, and we'll have a message from the Word of God. It'll be a great, great resurrection day and Easter Sunday, and we hope you can come out and join us, all right? Have a wonderful, wonderful Friday, and I'll look forward to being with you, some of you on Sunday, the rest of you, Lord willing, on Monday for the broadcast, and we'll talk a little bit about the resurrection. Until then, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with us.
sunny smile.